Good morning, you're Mr. Mendoza, am I correct, sir?
Yes.
Okay, let's hold on, let's see who's...
Hello.
The Honorable Mr. Johnson is going to conduct the hearing at this time, sir, so just hold on to the phone.
Good morning, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce the board members to you that are going to be conducting your hearing this morning. But prior to that, sir, could you just please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Joaquin Mendoza, 107370.
Okay, Mr. Mendoza. Conducting your hearing this morning is to my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. In the middle is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be your hearing lead today, sir. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Correction as well as representing your parole officer is Mr. Grady. So I believe you may be able to see Mr. Grady on the screen pretty soon. Mr. Mendoza, prior to having your hearing today, you signed and you received a notification form that informed you about having this meeting before the board this morning. You recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes.
On that form, it notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
Represent myself.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mendoza. At this time, Mr. Mendoza, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Grady in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr.
Mendoza?
Okay, sir, your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase one. Sir, you have three allegations listed on your warrant. I am going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read you the allegation, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes.
Okay, the first allegation on the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 3, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at 2202 East Roosevelt Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about September 29, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay. Sir, the second allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7 as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about October 4, 2018 as verbally directed by P.O. Fine per the task individual test of compliance summary dated October 16, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay, your last allegation states you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of Parole Officer Bullock and Parole Officer Fran by failing to report in person for a scheduled face-to-face visit on or about October 5, 2018, as directed verbally and in writing on October 4, 2018, says that the offender's activity actively avoiding supervision, thus he is absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
False.
It's false? Okay, so then that you state that allegation number 3 is false, I'm going to go to the parole officer, Mr. Grady, to get some additional information, okay?
Yes.
Mr. Grady?
On 10-4-2018, the offender was present in office for staffing with SPM Bullock. On 10-4-2018, the offender was verbally directed to report back to South Mountain Parole Office by 900 hours on 10-5-2018 with his proposed sponsor, his sister. On 10-5-2018, the offender failed to report in person for the scheduled office visit. On 10-5-2018, funeral bond telephonically contacted the offender's sponsor, Guadalupe Cejas, sister. Guadalupe Cejas stated she was unable to bring him to the office, but that he should have had another ride to the office. The offender then called his phone for SPL Bola. The offender stated he was out trying to find a place to live. However, On 10/4/2018, he reported that he was living with his sister, which was confirmed by his sister. On 10/5/2018, at approximately 14:15 hours, SBO Bullock verbally directed the offender that he had 1 hour to report to the office or a warrant would be issued. The offender stated, "Do what you have to do," and hung up the phone. The offender failed to report as directed. The offender is actively avoiding supervision, thus he's suspended from supervision.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Grady. Mr. Mendoza, that's not true about that, sir.
She told me I had, there was 2:50 or something like that in the afternoon. She said I had 10 minutes to be there, or I was going to get a warrant for me. And when she was telling me this, she was yelling at the top of her lungs. And I was sitting there talking regular, and she was just felt extreme mad at me. So I just said, "Do what you have to do," and I hung up. But that's all. I was on the other side of town trying to find somewhere, another halfway house, and she was like, "We got 10 minutes to be here, or I'm going to issue a warrant for you," but she was yelling at me, like, just yelling, top of the voice at me.
All right, well,
there's no way I was going to be there in 10 minutes, so I just hung up.
Okay. Did you make any effort to come? Well,
yes, I did.
What'd you do?
When I got kicked out of the halfway house, when they kicked me out, I called my parole officer, I gave him my sister's address, and I told him I don't want to get in trouble. I'm here in front of the office right now, it's closed. I think it was Saturday, when they kicked me out, and I drove to have my sister take me over there. She kicked me out, I took me to the office, and it was closed. I told him I'm here in front of the office. I said, I don't have to see you until Wednesday. So I'm gonna be here on Wednesday. There's my sister's name and address and her phone number. And I told him again, I don't want to get in trouble. So if you get this message before then, call me back. I'm gonna be at my sister's house. I'll be waiting for your call. And then I didn't hear nothing back. So I went in on Wednesday, to talk to him. But when I went in, he wasn't there. His supervisor was there, and every time she talked to me, she just like yelled at me the whole time, like no regular voice. She's like.
Okay, Mr. Mendoza. Sir, I'm going to give you an opportunity when we go into phase two to further discuss this, okay? But I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to move this on from phase one to phase two. So I am going to move to find that Mr. Mendoza was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses, about to lapse into criminal ways of company, and that's going to be based on his admission to allegations number one and two, and on allegation number three, it's going to be based on the information contained in warrant number 2018W2919, and information from the parole officer, Mr. Grady. That's going to be my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed, Mr. Quinones, Mr. Dr. Wright. So the board's going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, we'll make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two of your hearing. We're getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Grady. I'll go over some information with you, Mr. Mendoza, from the warrant. And then after that, give you the opportunity to see if there's any information that you'd like to present to the board or any information that you feel relevant to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Grady.
Mr. Mendoza was released from DOC on September 20th of 2018. He was arrested on January 29th of 2019 by Phoenix PD. He has no new charges. He returned back to DOC on January 29th of 2019. He has a CCD on February 14th of 2020. That reflects 116 abscond days. Current conviction, 2012, criminal trespass, first degree, 2 years. Prior conviction, 1994, burglary, second degree, 4 years. 1994, burglary, second degree, 3 years, 6 months. 1999, theft of transportation, 6 years, 6 months. 1999, endangerment, 1 year, 9 months. 2007, theft of transportation, 4 years. 2012, dangerous drug violation, 8 years. His four terms in DLC, his CGIR scores are 3-4, mental health scores are 3, substance abuse scores are 2. Gang information, 2005, he self-admitted being a past member of the Los Altos in Memphis. Criminal street gang, prior terms of supervision, 1997, original release, absconded for 105 days, arrested and revoked administratively. 2005, TS release, absconded for 39 days, arrested and revoked by the DOC. 2010, absconded for 112 days, no, just absconded for 12 days, arrested and revoked by the DOC. Disciplinary violations are significant with drugs and violence noted. Under arrest, 1990, threat and intimidate, Arizona juvenile detention. 1990, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile detention. 1990, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile detention. 1990, kidnapping, Arizona juvenile detention. 1990, burglary, first degree, Arizona juvenile detention. He had a community risk score of a G7 V8.
All righty, thank you, Mr. Reed. So, Mr. Mendoza, when you were released, at first you were to reside at traditional living communities at 2202 East Roosevelt Street in Phoenix. Then it looks like you left there on October 6th without prior approval of your assigned parole officer, but you did contact your parole officer at a later date and state that you were staying with your sister at 737 West Illinois here in Phoenix. Is that right, sir?
Yes. I didn't leave. They kicked me out. They kicked me out of there, and they said I had to go. So what I did was I called my sister. She came pick me up, and then I told her, I'm just sharing with the parole office on 16th Street. And I went there, and it was closed. And I called my parole officer, told him I'm out here. I got kicked out of the program. And I said, this is my sister's address, name. Everything. I said, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to be in violation. I'm going to see you on Wednesday like I'm supposed to, which is a couple of days coming up. And if there's a problem with this, let call me back and here's my number as soon as you get this message, but I'm going to be at my sister's house. I didn't leave that place. They said I had to get out of there. They kicked me out. So that's the first thing I did was call and left that message to him. And then went over there on Wednesday. And not knowing that I should have went on Monday. But my scheduled date was to see him on Wednesday. So instead of going on Monday, I waited until Wednesday to go see him.
Okay. So were you working during that period of time, sir?
Yes. I worked like five different jobs while you stayed at the halfway house.
Okay, so you were you
paying for staying there.
Okay.
And then another thing I want to tell you guys, I'm not using it for an excuse, but when I got out, my mom was ill, and she got, as time went by, she got more sick, so she passed away on January 22nd, and then 2 days later, I got arrested at her house and brought in for my violation. So it just got worse and worse as the months went by, and I had to watch. And I was no more running around. I was at my sister's house. I wasn't hiding or avoiding you guys. I was there. The police never went over there, or parole officer never went over there to my mom and my sister's house. But the whole time, then she passed away on the 22nd of January, and then I got arrested 2 days later. And that's the rest of it.
Okay. So. So it looks like you've been on parole several times before, and each time that you was on parole, you absconded. In 97, you absconded for 105 days. In 05, you absconded for 39 days, and then 2010, you absconded for 12 days. What is the problem with you?
Okay, when I get to the parole office, I go to see my parole officer at 16th Street, right? There might be different people there, but it's always the same. Instead of, well, I ask, well, how come you didn't tell us you were going to come out homeless? I go, well, The reason I put on this is because I have asked my family, nobody's obligated there to help me to, that I can just assume that they can just take me in. That's why I put home. I said, but right now, girls, I verbally had to ask. I can't just assume that they owe me anything because they don't. So I went to my sister's house, I walked over, and that day when they let me finally let me out of the office, before I went to the halfway house and asked them, hey, they want to know if I can stay here, but you guys got to let them know. And they brought me back to the parole officer, and they told the parole officer, and my parole officer was there, was like five other parole officers there, and surrounding me on the desk, I told my sister and them, that's why I put up on this. I said, well, I got more than one address. I said, they're all outside. They're willing to come in, and you guys can go right now to their house and go. If there's nobody else in probation or parole at these addresses. So I'm in a good environment, but I still have to ask them. I can't just assume that's why I'm put homeless. And that's what happened with that. And nobody wanted to go check. They were like, you go to this halfway house, you got till 5 to be there. I said, well, there's 6 of you guys right here surrounding me. And nobody can go and see that. I go out. They said, well, just go to this halfway house. And when your parole officer gets here, we're just filling in for him. He'll go visit and see if the address is okay. So I was like, okay, well, then I'm gonna run to the halfway house. I'm not gonna give you guys, I'm gonna do this because I already told my family I'm gonna do it. And they were like, just go to the halfway house and we'll come and let them check the area. So that's what I did. But before all that, they sat me down in the middle, and there's 6 parole officers there at 16th Street, and they're like, just give us the word, and those are, we'll take you back right now. Just give us the word, and instead of like trying to help me positive environment, the other thing too, I want to let you guys know, from SMU, Brown Unit, I worked my way down from Brown Unit to SMU1, to Maury, and then from Snyder. And I don't know if you know about those places, but they're way worse and crazy, and that's what I got released from. And then I walk into that same parole office. There might be different parole officers, but it's always the same attitude here. Instead of feeling like they're trying to help me, it sounds like they're trying to kill me. With telling me, with yelling at me, and I'm not even provoking it, and telling me things like, just give us the word, and we'll take you back right now. Well, when I'm explaining to them, my family's out there, and they are legit, and I can go stay with them. They're like, you go here, or we'll take you back right now. That's just how I get treated when I go to that parole office.
Okay.
Every time, this time and the last time I got parole.
Well, Mr. Mendoza, let me ask you.
And I did go for 10 days, and that's just how it is.
Okay.
It never changes.
Well, Mr. Mendoza, how come you didn't take any UAs during that time that you were out, sir?
I called the UA thing. Okay, when I went to go see my parole officer, when I got kicked out and I didn't report on the Monday, that was Wednesday. That was like, we're going to call you right now. I want you to go right now. That's why I missed it because I didn't have no transportation. I was still trying to go find another halfway house, too. It was just like, it was built on top of a square every time. It didn't matter. All the companies, all the classes and all that, none of that mattered. And then on top of that, I had my mom, the house was deteriorating, and I had to keep back and watch all that on top of all of this.
Let me, Mr. Mendoza, on behalf of myself and the rest of the board, you know, definitely give you our condolence for the loss of your mom. You know, that is a tragic event to have to go through, sir. But also, so why did you go 116 days without contacting your PO?
Basically, the supervisor, I go, can I talk to my parole officer? He goes, no, you're talking to me, and you got, it's 2:50 right now, you got till 3 o'clock to be here. She goes, where are you at? I said, I'm over here by Mesa, I'm trying to find another halfway house or somewhere so I can go. And she's like, it's 2:50, you got to be here by, you got 10 minutes to be here, I'm going to buy it. But she was screaming at the time. I said, well, you seem like you're taking this personal for some reason. I said, you have a blessed day. And I just hung up. That's it.
Okay.
And the whole time I was at my sister's house, I wasn't running a didn't, they had my address, they would, he could've went down, the police could've went down and picked me up, but, like, I was just, cause I had to take care of my mom, help my sister with my mom, and that's basically it, I wasn't up and doing whatever.
Okay.
That's just.
Did you start back to using drugs, sir?
Huh?
Did you start back using drugs while you were out?
No.
Okay. All right, Mr. Mendoza, let me see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir. Seeing no additional questions coming from the board, Mr. Mendoza, we're about to come up on a conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir?
Just thank you for the opportunity.
All right. So the board's going to go into a discussion, Mr. Mendoza. While the board's having a discussion, please stay on the line while I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion. I will get back with you when the board has made a conclusion, whether to revoke or reinstate you, okay?
All right,
the board is now going into discussion. I do understand and definitely offer our condolences for the passing of Mr. Mendoza's mother in January. That's a tragic thing to have to go through. We do understand that. According to the documentation that we have, that he was kicked out of TLC for not running to work. There is some indication that he did contact the PO, leave some information about being able to stay at his sister's house. However, he did not get that residence approved to actually stay at, and he was absconded for 116 days. My biggest problem is that, you know, every time that he's been released, he's been an absconder for 105 days and 39 days and 12 days. Every time he was released, he was absconded. So there's no doubt that he definitely knows the importance of maintaining a contact with his PO, and that if he doesn't get in contact with his PO, that eventually he's going to be arrested and sent back to prison and be absconded. So I just don't see Mr. Mendoza being suitable for a release back out in the community at this time. He does have a release date of February 14, 2020. I hope he take that time while he's there, work on some programming, get himself together, work with his CO3 so that when he gets out, he can be a productive citizen and not have any negative contact with law enforcement again. That's my opinion. However, I am willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Seeing no comments coming from the colleagues, then I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Mendoza. Find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways of the company, as he was absconded for 116 days, and his PO has no idea for sure what he was doing in that period of time. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself. Second, Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Dr. Riley. And agreed, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Mendoza? Mr. Mendoza? Mr. Mendoza, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You do have a release date of February 14th of 2020. At which time you won't be on any parole or community supervision when you are released. So you do, you know, have a history of absconding, as I've talked about before, and that you were absconding for 116 days, sir, and we have no idea for sure exactly what you were doing in that period of time. Mr. Mendoza, I do want to thank you for taking the time to appear before this board. However, sir, that's going to conclude your hearing at this time.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.